It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Chapter 10 reads as follows. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your fathers nor your forefathers have ever seen before. From the day they settled in this land till now." Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go, so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?" Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "Go, worship the Lord your God," he said. "But just who will be going?" Moses answered, "We will go with our young and old. We will go with our young and the old, with our sons and our daughters, and with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh said, "The Lord be with you. If I let you go along with your women and children, clearly you are bent on evil. No, let only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you have been asking for." Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over Egypt, so that the locusts will swarm over the land and devour every growing thing in the fields, everything left by the hail." So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land, and all that day and all that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the field and the fruit of the trees. Nothing green remained on the tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, forgive me, my sin once more, and pray to the Lord your God to take this deadly plague away from me." Moses then left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up the locusts and carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand towards the sky so that darkness will spread over Egypt, darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand towards the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go, worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind. But Moses said, "You must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock, too, must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in the worship the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die." "Just as say," Moses replied, "I will never appear before you again." May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Your comments, Mfundis.
Now, this is chapter 10.
Absolutely.
And we see, this is 1 to 20. Interestingly, we see the eighth plague, which introduces one of the primary causes for famine and misery in any region.
Okay.
And you are talking about the locusts here. You know, I think you and I know that the destructive power of locusts is well known.
Indeed.
Locust swarms can destroy complete regions in a matter of days, and hundreds of millions of locusts eating their body weight in one day would destroy what a hail and thunder it left over. And so we also see that in chapter, not only locusts, but in chapter 10, there, verses 21 to 20. Hello?
Yes, I'm here, Mfundis. I'm here.
Verses 21 to 29.
Yeah.
We see the next plague, which is the ninth, number nine.
Yeah.
And this plague with its darkness targets, actually, like I said before, that these plagues, each one targeted a particular deity, a particular Egyptian deity, a particular Egyptian god, small letter G.
Yeah.
And this one, this particular one, the ninth one, it actually targets Amun-Ra, who is the sun god of Egypt, and who has been considered as one of the most important deities. You know, Amun-Ra was also considered the divine father of Pharaoh. So, thus the exposure of Amun-Ra's helplessness against this plague, his helplessness against the Lord's power, deals a death blow to the Egyptian core belief.
Okay.
And you see that, interesting enough, this particular, on this particular plague, scholars have actually suggested that a major sandstorm could have caused that darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but in verse 27, fortunately or unfortunately, Pharaoh still maintains the same attitude and he does not recognize the power and sovereignty of the Lord.
Right.
I think that's a summary.
Okay. Okay. So let's get into it then, Mfundis. And I'm always interested to understand these plagues, and I appreciate the way you analyze them, and you're bringing out things that we would never have known were it not for a conversation with a theologian like yourself, and we appreciate all of that. Let's get into it then, Mfundis. Verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart.'" You know, we keep on skipping this part, and perhaps we might as well get into it now. What does God mean when he says he has hardened Pharaoh's heart? It appears as though, and I could be wrong, and I hope I am wrong, Mfundis, that Pharaoh had no say in the matter, because the Bible says God hardened his heart.
That's a very good test. It's a very good test case for biblically understanding divine sovereignty as well as human responsibility.
Right.
But let's see, let's make a quick rundown of the key biblical data as far as the hardening of Pharaoh's heart is concerned.
Right.
You will agree with me that in Exodus chapter 4, 21, and chapter 7, 3, chapter 14, and verse 4.
Right.
Three times in these verses, we see that God actually declares that he will harden Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
And then six times, God also actually hardens Pharaoh's heart. That is in Exodus chapter 9, verse 12, chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 20, chapter 10, verse 27, the ones that we read today. Tomorrow also, if people are going to continue reading chapter 11, in verse 10, and then chapter 14, verse 8, six times, you will see that God actually hardens Pharaoh's heart. And then he, but does not end there.
Right.
Seven times now, seven times, the number of completeness.
Yes.
It is actually now, the hardening is expressed as a divine passive with the God as the implied subject. In this case, Pharaoh is hardening. Pharaoh is hardening his own heart. That is in chapter 8, verse 15, chapter 8, 32, chapter 9, verse 34. Three times, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So, in my view, divine hardening and self-hardening are interwoven. And even though God's action is primary and initiatory, but Pharaoh's response also, Pharaoh could have done could have chosen not to harden his heart, even though when God did harden it. That's what I comment. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
I'm not sure I understand, Mfundisi, because the verse we're dealing with is not Pharaoh hardening his own. It's God this time. It's God who says, I will harden his heart. So I do understand that there are times when Pharaoh are referred to as he has hardened his own heart. But in this case, the Bible says it is God who hardened Pharaoh's heart.
I agree with you 100%. Because even if we go to Romans chapter 9, in the New Testament, Romans chapter 9, verse 16 to 18. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, sir.
Yes. Can you read that one for us? And here, the why part now, why God can actually go to that extent
you want me
of
to...
hardening people's heart.
Okay, Romans
9.
Okay. And which verse?
Verses 16 to 18.
16 to 18.
Yes.
It reads as follows. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One.
So you see now Paul's comment there. Paul famously reflects on the theological implications of this in Romans chapter 9.
Right.
He is using it to demonstrate the power of God's mercy over the human will. Sometimes a human may will, but God's mercy now can override that will.
Right.
Yes. So in this purpose, in this sense then, it supports the fact that God actually hardened Pharaoh's heart, but he was hardening it for the purposes of mercy and to show his power. Because when you read verse 2 in today's chapter, in chapter 10 there, not only does God harden his heart for Pharaoh, but God was also sending a message to the Israelites. In verse 2, you can see there that while Pharaoh's attitude is becoming less and less pliable, an important purpose also of the plagues is for Israel to know and remember God's power in future generations. So God did harden Pharaoh's heart for the purpose of expressing his mercy and power.
So you're confirming, you're agreeing with Mfundisi that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Am I understanding you well?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
so,
my view.
So we are seeing a God who visits treachery and misery on a people, not because they were evil, but because he made them hard-hearted.
Yeah, that's why that's why I said it, that yes.
Where is the mercy God, there, Mfundisi? When you're saying it's God is demonstrating his mercy, where is the mercy there? It appears as though God is being cruel to the Egyptians.
Yeah, like we said that God is no. Remember, we said the darkness is dealing with all the plagues are dealing with the deities of the Egyptians.
No. My issue is not about plagues now, Mfundisi. My issue is the plagues come because Pharaoh's heart was hard.
Uh-huh.
And Pharaoh's heart is hard because God made it hard. If the plagues were a punishment because of Pharaoh's own choice to be hard-hearted, I would understand. But in this case, it is not Pharaoh's choice of being hard-hearted. It is God who has made Pharaoh to be hard-hearted. So Pharaoh had no say in the matter. Now he's suffering because God chose to make him hard-hearted, and everybody else is suffering the consequences of God's choices, not Pharaoh's choices. Why should Pharaoh be punished for things he didn't do?
I want now us to co-join with what Paul says, and then answer your question of saying, now where is mercy here? Mercy is when focus has been removed from the human deities and focus has been put on God, the true God who created heaven and earth. That way, that is mercy. You have been drawn away from the false gods into the true God.
But that,
has happened through your experience of suffering, misery.
I understand.
But God can still raise you up again from the ground. Remember the story of Job. Message only comes after Job, at some time, he has lost his children, he has lost everything. But the message at the end, when the true God has been uplifted, God restores everything. So in this case now, when the false religious gods have been dealt with, God can still raise up again that which has been destroyed. He can still do it. So that's where the mercy part of is.
No. You are dealing with the end result. I'm talking about the very beginning of it. This begins with a hard heart. God doesn't have an excuse to punish Pharaoh. He creates that excuse. According to this and your interpretation, Pharaoh, we don't know whether Pharaoh would have been soft-hearted. Quite frankly, by reason and rationale, his heart was soft until God hardened it. So Pharaoh is suffering from God's choice, not Pharaoh's wrong. Pharaoh was soft-hearted until God hardened that soft heart. And now it creates an impression that God is racketeering with human souls.
Right. Let me explain three things here. Can I?
Go ahead, Mfundisi.
First and foremost, who is the ultimate cause of Pharaoh's hardening?
God.
God. Okay.
That's what the Bible says, yes.
Our study has categorically shown that God is the ultimate cause of all of the hardening actions throughout Exodus chapter 4 up to 14. So that at no time is Pharaoh's volition independent of God's influence as it appears when he hardens his heart. So this may be especially significant since the hardening may be viewed as a polemic against the Egyptian idea of Pharaoh's deity and the belief that Pharaoh's heart was the all-controlling factor both in history and society. But we need to go on again on the second aspect that I want to highlight here. If the hardening is at all associated with God, then a question can be asked. Is it an unconditional or conditional judgment with respect to Pharaoh's sin? My answer is that it is never stated in Exodus chapter 4 to 14 that God hardens.
Are you still there, Mfundisi? All right, our line has dipped there, just as the pastor was laying it on to help us understand. Be patient with us as we're trying to get that line clearer. I do hope that we get the pastor back so that we can get some clarity on what exactly is happening there in this story. We're still stuck in one place, by the way. we've seen other plagues, but we're still stuck here as we're trying to call the pastor. We're stuck in the one place where God repeatedly says, I will harden my heart. Pastor, can you hear me?
The idea that God is unjust. In Romans chapter 9, verse 14 that you read.
Yeah.
In rejecting Esau rather than Jacob before they were born, does he give an understandable explanation for this reputation? Or does he merely refute the idea without offering any rationale in defense of God's rejection? So neither Moses nor Paul leaves room for the possibility that God was unjust or immoral in his dealings with Pharaoh. Or Pharaoh had a peccatum alienum, that is an alien guilt. Paul actually alludes to Exodus chapter 9:16 in affirming the justice of God.
I need you to help me understand where that justice is, because here, Mfundis, though Paul may use all the Latin and Greek he wants to use, we don't see it here. We are seeing God taking a man who is soft-hearted and making that heart hard. And after that, and then he punishes him, he punishes everybody for something that he did not do. There's no justice there, Mfundis. I can't see it then, if there is, point it out to me.
God had not repeatedly hardened Pharaoh. There would have been no drawn out series of plagues.
Exactly.
There would have been no proclamation of God's omnipotence.
Exactly. Exactly.
God will not need 10 plagues to deal with a human being.
Well, he...
If it was God. But it was Pharaoh. It was God was doing all these things in response to Pharaoh hardening his own heart.
No, Mfundis, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yes, but the Bible also says Pharaoh hardened his own heart.
Yeah, but in this case, we're talking...
So you need to draw a balance there.
I don't dispute the other parts, Mfundis. I have no problem with Pharaoh suffering the consequences of his own choices. That much I'm okay with. What I'm not okay with is the situations where it was not Pharaoh who hardened his heart. It is God. Remember, the issue is not the places where he has done wrong. All of us need to account for what we have done. But now, in this case, Pharaoh and the Egyptians are accounting for something that Pharaoh didn't do.
Pharaoh has refused the Israelites to go. In other words, he has rejected God.
Because God hardened his heart. Without God hardening his heart, without him hardening his heart, Pharaoh was not hard-hearted. In this instance, Pharaoh was not hard-hearted. In other instances, he may have been, Mfundis. But here, in this situation, Pharaoh was not.
He was.
But the Bible says God is the one who hardened his heart.
Yes, yeah. But now, we are applying that one. Yeah, we are interpreting that one. We are doing it very well. And I'm saying that God's hardening and the rejection of Pharaoh does not appear to be limited to divine dealings only on the temporal.
No, Mfundis. No. I'm not even there now. I'm in how do we say this is
That's
the fault of Pharaoh? Why are we saying it's the fault of Pharaoh, and yet God says with his mouth to Moses, I will harden his heart?
Yes.
Why are we dilly-dallying around this? Why are we protecting God from this? It is God who hardened the heart of Pharaoh.
Yeah, but when you're explaining that, where we say God sends a serpent to bite the Israelites,
right?
Who are what?
A stiff-necked nation.
Who has become radical,
right?
Against God,
right?
It's like we're saying God sends these serpents, but the correct interpretation there is not the side of a God who is sending serpents, but is a God who is withdrawing his presence. That understanding only comes when we have correctly interpreted that.
That is slightly different. That is slightly different, Pastor, because with the stiff-necked nation that they were in the desert, it is them. God didn't harden their hearts as a nation. They chose to
rebel. But God removed his presence.
After the fact.
But God allowed. He allowed. Even as they were making the choice of mocking Moses, even mocking God. God was there. He did not stop them. By their choices, they called the effects upon themselves.
Precisely. Their choices. But here,
yes,
chapter 10, it is not Pharaoh's choices, Mfundis. That's what I'm contending with. Because we are seeing these plagues here hit on Egyptians for no reason at all. There was no reason for them to be punished for this, because their king, Pharaoh, was soft-hearted until God intervened. God didn't like this Pharaoh being soft-hearted. He needed an excuse. That was racketeering, Mfundis.
No. This is not racketeering. That's why now we read verse 2 in order to balance with Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, I agreed with you. I agree with you that God did have the virus that. But I now explained the purpose from, well, that we borrowed from Paul. Paul explains that God was doing it for mercy. And then verse 2 of chapter 10 explains that this whole activity of the 8th plague and the 9th plague, God was doing it not only for Pharaoh, but even for the Israelites, where God is showing his power as well as showing that he is a God who is merciful. He wants to win people to him. And when people have been won to him, God can still raise new things.
I understand that, Mfundisi. Listen to this, Mfundisi, and this is what makes a lot of people wonder about this God of the Hebrews. His rationale for hardening the heart of Pharaoh. Yeah? His rationale is there captured still in verse 2. That you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly. Yeah? How I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them. And that you may know that I am the Lord. So he's not doing this because the Egyptians are evil. He's doing this because he wants to show off his power. How harsh he can be. This verse, chapter verse 1 and verse 2, clearly tells us that it's not because Pharaoh was evil. It was not because Pharaoh had done wrong. It's simply because God, he wanted to show off his power. Let that my vitriol, the harshness of my dealing with the Egyptians, let it reverberate to generations down the line. And here we are, even today, still talking about it.
That's correct, but in the first part. The second part is that God is written over an occasion that has come up, that has come as a result of man's choice. You know, man has chosen to disobey God. Then God overrides.
But here, no one disobeyed him for this.
In order to give his mercy.
No one disobeyed him for
Pharaoh,
this.
Pharaoh is refusing. Pharaoh is consistently refusing.
He's refusing because his heart was hardened.
I calculated how many times Pharaoh refused, how many times God promised, how many times God actually hardened.
For those times that Pharaoh...
He's clearly there.
For those times that Pharaoh voluntarily refused by his own volition, I'm okay with him suffering the consequences.
So
what I'm trying to understand is, now, this time around, this situation, it's not his doing, it's God's doing.
As a response, God is riding over what Pharaoh has chosen. That's what is happening. Pharaoh has already chosen to disobey God.
Yeah.
But God is using that now, activity. He's using that drama to show his mercy as well as to show his power. Not only to Pharaoh, but even to the Israelites and even to the spiritual Israelites. That is us who live today.
And
God is showing his power.
As we close, Mfundisi, I want to ask then, to ask the so-called spiritual Israelites, is it not possible, therefore, since we have now seen evidence of a God who wants to demonstrate his harshness, not his mercy, not his grace, he wants to demonstrate his harshness, according to verse 2, is it not possible that we too could be hard-hearted because God has hardened our hearts? Is it possible that people who are repeatedly incessantly evil, like the Pharaoh in chapter 10, are incessantly evil because God is the one who's making them hard-hearted just so we can show how harsh he can be? Not because the people are evil, but because God wants to show that he can deal harshly with people like he did with Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Is it possible?
It is possible, but out of misinterpretation of the character of God. The correct interpretation of God's character is that he is merciful.
Well, verse 1 and 2 disagrees with you.
But God is also just.
You can say that.
He is merciful. God is also just.
Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2 disagrees with your interpretation, Funis. God speaks for himself there. God himself disagrees with you. He doesn't say, this is my mercy. I want to show my mercy to the Egyptians. No. He says, I want to show your generations, Moses, just how harsh I am. So I don't know where you would get it from.
Now, if you harmonize the scripture and with the Romans chapter 9, verse 16, what does Paul say? We are harmonizing scripture here.
We need
to balance.
We seem to be massaging scripture more than harmonizing.
We are analyzing. And when you make an analysis, we need to make a semantic analysis, theological analysis, historical analysis, lexical analysis, even contextual analysis, and even logical analysis. So as we say, God Like, that's what makes me now to say, though God is just to Pharaoh, but God is also merciful, according to Paul in Romans chapter 9.
Which we don't, that mercy we don't see to see in chapter 10. We see harshness and a plan
and
for God to...
And harshness only comes because the Pharaoh has consistently refused to accept God.
Except for chapter 10.
That's where the harshness now comes.
In chapter 10...
If Pharaoh had not had repented, we would have seen mercy.
He did repent up until God changed his heart and changed his repentant heart into a hard heart again.
So very good. Very good, my brother. So it actually cements the description of God as being merciful and just. When we consistently refute the mercifulness of God, then mercy is closed. Then God becomes the God of justice. So, at the end of the day, it is because of our choice that we suffer the consequences for our sins.
Okay, Mfundisi, I'm going to leave
it. It comes
there.
Back to our choice.
Okay, Mfundisi, I'll...
But otherwise, God is a God of mercy. Though he's a God of mercy, mercy does not stay forever in response to our choice. If we persistently refuse to accept mercy, then justice comes in.
Pastor Musa Gwiza, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate your insights and your perspective for this.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Always my brother.
Thank you for this. Have a good preparation day and happy Sabbath tomorrow.
Thank you, my brother. Same to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.